Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastama Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 64. The Sutrakar indicates that the next four sutras prove the jiva's pervasive nature restrained to its body. Sutra 2.3.22. Purvapaksha, the argument. If the jiva is atomic, it could not spread throughout the body. Right? So they're saying they're all pervasive, and then you're saying it's atomic, so it can't spread. You know, so it's just, yeah. The Sutrakar replies in the next sutra. Avirodhas chandavat. Avirodha, not contradicting, chandana, sandal, vat, like. There's no contradiction because the jiva can spread throughout the body like sandalwood. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar explains the atomicness of jiva with a suitable example. Sigovindabhasya. Siddhanta. A drop of sandalwood oil placed on one part of the body gives joy to the whole body. Similarly, the jiva can spread its awareness throughout the body. Smriti says, Anumatro pyayam jiva svadeham vyapya tishtati yata vyapya sharirani harishchandana vipurusha. Just as a drop of sandalwood oil spreads throughout the body, the atomic jiva spreads throughout the body and remains there. Brahmananda Purana, footnote 33. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, the quality of consciousness is inconceivable like a medicine. That is its essence, which never leaves it. Because Atma has this quality, Atma is said to pervade the whole body. Just as the consciousness, or pragya, has inconceivable shakti, so the Atma itself is inconceivable. Thus the word Mahan means the Atma is most excellent. This meaning is understood by the example of sandalwood. Brahma Sutra 2.3.22 from the Paramatma Sandarbha. Right, so you always have to see the context. Because you have synonyms, and you have to know which one to use for the situation. So they're taking Mahan as meaning just unlimited. Great, because Mahan, an elephant is Mahan. Right, it's big. But they have to take it. No, it means unlimited. You know, that's just their speculation. So the point is here. It's just meaning that is great, meaning it's excellence. Like if you say he's a great man, it doesn't mean that he's a a monster or something like that. It just means he's special in some way. You know, he's very excellent in some aspect. Because even if we say great, it can be big in size, but you can be big in stature, big in social, status, big in wealth, big, so many of these things. Like that. Bhagavatam, yes.
What is actually the, I know in English there are two words, consciousness and conscience.
Consciousness means what you, the ability to be aware of things. And conscience is then, one's feeling of whether action is correct or not.
Okay.
It's concerning proper action. Like if you do something that, you think is not proper action, then your conscience makes you feel bad.
Yes, yes.
And if someone doesn't have a conscience, they just don't care.
Yes. Okay. Consciousness is like a perception.
Is the ability to perceive.
Like
that. That awareness.
So it's more subtle than what What's the word she used? Conscience.
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 Conscience is connected with morality and ethics.
Yes.
And consciousness means this ability to perceive.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:27. The individual soul is one, pure, non-material, and self-effulgent. He is a reservoir of all good qualities, and he is all-pervading. He is without material covering, and he is a witness of all activities. He is completely distinguished from other living entities, and he is transcendental to all embodied souls. Footnote 34. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, he teaches knowledge of Paramatma, caused by detachment, for those absorbed in Atma-gyan. The Paramatma, Atma, is different, para, from the body, and the Jiva, Atmanaha. He is one, whereas the Jivas and their bodies are unlimited in number. The Jiva is pure without knowledge and covered by the gunas. Oh, impure, yeah. Is impure without knowledge and covered by the gunas, whereas the Paramatma is pure with knowledge and without material gunas. Because he produces the gunas and is independent from them, he is called the shelter of the gunas. The Jiva is not pervading everywhere, since he has a material body and conforms to it. The Jiva is covered by house and other objects. The Jiva is not the witness because he is often unconscious and has clouded vision. The Jiva is a small conscious entity, dependent on Paramatma, whereas the Paramatma is the greatest conscious entity and independent of the Jiva, Niratma. Thus, nine qualities distinguish the Paramatma from the Jiva and his body. By this statement as well, nine differences between the Jiva and his body are shown. Siddhartha Darshini, 4:27. So you have that the soul is different from the body, but you also, in the same thing, you have that how the super soul is different from the soul and the body. You know, so this is one of those verses where it explains both with the same explanation. Right? Sutta 2:323. Avastiti vaishe shyad iti chen nab upagamat hridihi. Avastiti, abode, aiveshyat, because of being specific, iti, thus, chet, if, na, not, abhyupagamat, because of acceptance, hridi, in the heart, he, certainly. If you argue that the sandalwood spreads because it is located in one place in the body, but the Atma does not have a particular location in the body from which to spread, the answer is no, for the Atma is situated in the heart. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they'll say, well, he's not there, so how can he spread? You know,
yes.
In other words, it's just coming up with... That's the point of mental speculation, is that mental speculation simply means that you take whatever is the situation and the articles within the situation, and you arrange them around in different ways to get a particular effect. That's all. Whether it's logical or not, it doesn't matter. You just keep arranging. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you put the cauliflower, you know, on the stove. You put the pot on top of the cauliflower. Put the lid on top of the pot. The pot is upside down, of course. Like that. Put the spoon on top of that. Balance it very carefully. You know, it's just, that's mental speculation. You just take everything and move it around, whatever it is. And then, with the idea here is not to prove their theory, because this argument doesn't prove how the soul is great. All it does is try to say that the soul is not atomic and the soul is not conscious of the whole body, pervading the body. They're trying to say it's because he's great, therefore he's pervading the body. So he's bigger than the body. He's unlimited, so naturally he does. But if he does that, everybody's unlimited. That means every soul would be pervading every body. So then there's no individuality.
Yeah.
You know?
And then one will experience happiness eternally or suffering eternally, because there's again the overlap. And then if one is liberated, everybody else should also get liberated.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just whatever it is, everybody be experiencing the same thing. So there's no individuality. So that's their explanation of why he's all-pervading. We're saying he's atomic and he's all-pervading. Like, if you take some sandalwood, you know, like previously, you take it and put the drop of sandalwood or any of these oils on a little piece of cotton, and you put it in your ear, right? Up in the corner, you can stick it there. And then before the oil was so good, it would last for a month. And it would give so much fragrance that it would just be around your head. It would keep your head cool. Like that. You know, nowadays, I don't think, even the attars, I don't think you get more than 3 days out of them.
You know. Attars are the least quality. Now they have become unfortunate.
Yeah, but before it was the best. But before it was just very, very good. So what you would call cheap stuff before, that was, you know, very rare, expensive. But so the point is a drop of sandalwood put anywhere, you get the effect on the whole body. Like that. And so it's a well-known thing, so that you can just quote that and everybody knows what you're talking about. You know. Yes?
So every atom is conscious in the body?
No, what is that? We're talking about the soul. The soul is conscious of their body. So the particular atma that this body is situated in, he's conscious of the whole body. Does that make sense? If you're taking a bacteria in the body, they have their own body, so they're only conscious of that.
Okay. Well, okay. If somebody's feeling fear, they can feel it in the whole body.
No.
No.
The point is that the living entity is conscious of the whole body. So you can tell if an ant's walking on your toe, even though this ant soul is situated in the heart. That's what it means. You're conscious of your body, but you're not conscious beyond your body.
No, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar further explains the jiva as atomic by precisely indicating its place of residence in the body, the heart, thereby refuting the opponent's all-pervading aspect of the jiva. However, this point was established in the very first adhyaya in Vedanta Sutra 1-2-11. Guhyam pravishtav atmanau hi tad darshanat. That the two beings in the space within the heart are the jiva and the Lord. Right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you don't have to repeat it, because that was for one point. Now they have another point, so then they're thinking it doesn't matter. Like that. This demonstrates that the jiva occupies the heart. Sri Govinda Bhasya. Siddhanta. Here someone may object. It is seen that a drop of sandalwood is situated in a particular place on the body from which to spread out. But the jiva is not seen nor inferred to be situated in a particular place. Using the example of sandalwood is therefore not appropriate. So one can infer that the atma, because it is all-pervading, spreads throughout the body like ether. End quote. So now, Baladeva Dibhushan, that is not true. Why? Because we accept descriptions. Abhi bhyu gamat. That the jiva has a particular location in one place in the body. Quote, where does the jiva reside? End quote. In the heart, hridi. Hridi hiesha atma. The atma is in the heart. Prashna Upanishad 3:6. Srimad Bhagavatam reference. Upon becoming, 4:22:26. Upon becoming fixed in his attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the grace of the spiritual master, and by awakening knowledge and detachment, the living entity situated within the heart of the body and covered by the five elements burns up his material surroundings exactly as fire arising from wood burns the wood itself. Footnote 35, right? That doesn't mean that you're worried about, you know, this thing of, what do you call it? Self-combusting or something like that. I don't know if anyone remembers, I'm not sure when it was, maybe in the 80s or 70s, there was that thing where people would just, their body would just burn up on its own. Anyone remembers those things? No one's into conspiracy theories and stuff? Cool. Good. So, it was just something. So, they're always thinking it's some aliens or this or that or whatever it is. But you don't hear about it anymore. But it was this time. You didn't hear about it beforehand. Then you hear about it, just people just burn up on that. They'd be sitting there in their chair, and the next day you come and find just, you know, their shoes sitting there charred and the chairs like that. But no? Okay. So that's not what we're talking about. So that means that from the surroundings, you're seeing them in one way, but when you have knowledge and detachment, now you see them in a different way. So what happens is you're burning up the material concept.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there is no material concept.
But now there are two requisites, the grace of the guru and the personal endeavor.
Yes, because the point is becoming fixed in his attachment, right, by the grace of the spiritual master, right? Yes. But now what is he doing? Becoming fixed in his attachment means devotional service. That gives rise to awakening knowledge and detachment.
Yes.
So devotional service is performed, but under the direction of the spiritual master. That always has to be there.
Yes.
That's why for us, we see things always in line of Srila Prabhupada's purports.
Yes.
Then with that, we approach the previous acharyas. Yes. Right? That direction is given by Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion.
Yes.
Right? Is that you approach the previous acharyas through your acharya. But the point is, you have to accept the spiritual master.
Yes.
Like that, you have to accept authority. Otherwise, if you don't, all will be left with is mental speculation.
Yes.
And Lord Chaitanya doesn't recommend that.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Dry detachment and mental speculation.
Yes.
So therefore, it's devotional service under the direction of the guru and using everything in Krishna's service. So yukta vairagya. That's our system.
Mm-hmm.
Srila Prabhupada comments. It is said that both the Jivatma, the individual soul, and the Paramatma live together within the heart. In the Vedic version, it is said, Hridi Hrayam Atma. The soul and supersoul both live within the heart. The individual soul is liberated when it comes out of the material heart, or cleanses the heart to make it spiritualized. The example given here is very appropriate. Yonim evo titogni. Agni or fire comes out of wood, and by it the wood is completely destroyed. Right? The fire is already there in the wood.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it comes out, then the wood is destroyed. So the soul is already there in the body. So when the soul comes out of that,
yes.
Right? When they take up devotional service. Then they, I was just thinking, that's how you say, like there's that saying, you know, someone's coming out.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so when you come out, when you spiritually understand who you are, then that knowledge destroys the material concept,
yes. Yes.
That bodily concept.
Yes.
No? Okay.
But we keep the body.
Yes. But now it's not spiritual, it becomes spiritualized. Like Prabhupada says, comes out of the material heart, right? Either leaves the body or cleanses the heart and makes it spiritualized.
Yes.
So if the soul is remaining there, then by remembering Krishna, the heart becomes purified. And if not, then that they're leaving, they go out, then you see that it's also finished.
Yes.
In either way, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Similarly, when a living entity increases his attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is to be considered like fire. A blazing fire is visible by its exhibition of heat and light. Similarly, when the living entity within the heart becomes enlightened with full spiritual knowledge and detached from the material world, he burns up his material covering of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and becomes free from the five kinds of material attachments, namely, ignorance, false egoism, attachment to the material world, envy, and absorption in material consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes.
Five more
yes.
aspects, right?
Yes.
Added on the pile, right? That's for us. So when it says attachment, it means all these. So ignorance, false egoism, attachment to the material world, envy, and absorption in material consciousness.
Yes.
How is envy attachment?
Sorry?
Envy is considered always attachment. How is that?
Envy. Well, one is just coming from ignorance, envy, because it's destructive.
Mm-hmm.
But the other is you want what the other person has.
Mm-hmm.
That's what envy is. You're not envious of somebody that has something you don't have. It's not that the guy's there, slips, falls into the mud, and is covered with mud, and you're envious. Right? Yeah. Therefore, panchatmakam, as mentioned in this verse, refers to either the five elements or the five coverings of material contamination. When these are all burned into ashes by the blazing fire of knowledge and detachment, one is fixed firmly in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Whether you keep the material body or whether you leave the material body and take up the spiritual body. In any case, the material concept of the body is gone. Right? So, you know, here we see it can mean both. So you have to be able to understand it as both. Right? Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and advances one's attraction for Krishna by the spiritual master's instructions, the five coverings of the living entity cannot be uncovered from the material heart. The living entity is centered within the heart, and to take him away from the heart is to liberate him. This is the process. One must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and by his instruction increase one's knowledge in devotional service, become detached from the material world, and thus become liberated. An advanced devotee, therefore, does not live within the material body, but within his spiritual body, just as a dry coconut lives detached from the coconut husk, even though within the husk. Right? Because you have a coconut, and if it sits, it dries, and then it shrinks, so it's actually separate. You can rattle it.
Yes.
Right?
It is being said about the material body as well as the spiritual body, so simultaneous presence of both is being perceived by the jiva.
Well, it's either spiritualized or the spiritual body.
Yes.
In either case, it's acting in the same way. You get the same effect. The pure devotee's body is therefore called Chinmaya Sharira, spiritualized body. In other words, a devotee's body is not connected with material activities. And as such, a devotee is always liberated. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. 1426. Srila Rupa Goswami also confirms this. Iha yasya harer dhasye karmana manasa gira nikilasvap yavastasu Jivan Mukta Sa Uchite. Whatever his condition may be, one who is engaged fully with his body, mind, and speech in the service of the Lord is liberated, even within this body. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-26. Good?
Yeah, I was thinking that what we know from the descriptions in Srila Prabhupada's books is that usually devotees, they have material body and they do, you know, like sadhana within that, and then in their, you know, mentally conceived body or whatever it's called, siddha deha, then they do activities, you know, in the spiritual world. So it's kind of two bodies. One is mentally conceived and one is physical.
No, but you're spiritualizing the physical body because it's Krishna's energy. So it's just a matter of yoga maya controls the spiritual energy. Mahamaya controls the external energy. Right? So now if you're working in devotional service, you're working under yoga maya. So what's the effect of working with the material body?
Spiritual.
So that's the meaning of here what Krishna Prabhupada says, Chinmaya Sharira, spiritualized. You know, it's like the example given of iron and fire.
Yeah.
It's iron, but it acts as fire,
right,
by association. So, by Krishna consciousness, the material body acts as a spiritual body because it's giving you spiritual results. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Now, we can appreciate that if we're looking at that the focus is about the service and the devotion to Krishna and that pleasure of Krishna. then with this body we can render service to Krishna and please Krishna through devotion. If we're looking at it from the point of, oh, the spiritual body, it's deathless and, you know, no fatigue and this and that, then we're looking at the facilities of the material body. Then we're saying, oh, but this body doesn't have that. But is that the actual point of the body? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we also have to see that our view of these various situations are also correct. That we're seeing from the spiritual point. So we see someone from the spiritual world who has a spiritual body coming here, functioning within the material body, then how they see this situation, right? Or us here in the material body and are projecting onto the spiritual body why it's nice. Right? Because then it takes on the element like a heavenly body. You know, it lasts a long time. It does pretty good. It doesn't get you don't have all the sufferings and that you have here. So we have to be careful that we're not looking at the spiritual body and situation as we would, you know, the heavenly planets, or in other words, from the angle of karma. Right? Or from the angle of jnana and that, oh, this is all material and it's all nonsense and so, you know, it can't be spiritual at all. You know, because then you know, nothingness or it is spiritual. So these two material concepts we have to avoid. And just see it from the principle of that the spiritual body is a facility in which to render spiritual service to Krishna. And so, since the material world is Krishna's energy anyway, it's all Krishna. Does that make sense? Because we tend to see things separate from Krishna, therefore we get confused. There's duality. But when we see that it's all Krishna through his energies, it's all Krishna. It's non-different from Krishna. So therefore, the body and what it can do, the activities, that ability is Krishna. The body is made of Krishna's energies as Krishna. The abilities it can do is Krishna. The results can be gained as Krishna. The experience is all Krishna. So therefore, the soul is just taking part in that process in connection to Krishna. Right? So then they'll experience all those things. Just like we're not the body, but we experience what goes on in the body because of attachment. If we're attached to Krishna, then we experience the spiritual. So it's just wherever we put our attachment, that's where we're going to get the experience. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So again, it's you know, like we have problems looking at the spiritual, you know, situation because of time and space. We have to be careful we're not doing the same thing. You know, and the facility of having a spiritual body. Because that's the difficulty why we are here in the first place. Is that we appreciated the spiritual body and the spiritual situations, but only as secondary elements. We didn't appreciate them in connection with the primary. So we saw the secondary as separate from Krishna. And so then we come here and we continue in the same. That's why we don't notice. Because there you have secondary consciousness instead of primary consciousness. So when we come here, we have the same secondary consciousness. Just, you know, we don't notice that the quality of ingredients is not as good. But that's Maya's potency. She covers and then throws. Does that make sense? So that's why you start off at Brahma, so you don't really notice the difference. Does that make sense? And then from there come down. So, you know, so the shastras are being nice. You know, one end is Brahma, the other end is Indragopa. You know, the bacteria, you know, something, a virus or whatever it is that you're into. Is that?
Yeah.
Good. Sutta 2.324. Gunat va aloka vat. Gunat, by quality. Va, or aloka, light. Vat, like. The jiva spreads throughout the body because of its quality of consciousness, just as the sun spreads its light in the sky. Right, so giving another example. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar explains that the jiva, although centralized, pervades throughout the body because of its quality of consciousness. Footnote 36. Srila Jiva Goswami confirms that the jiva's pervasive nature is limited to its own body. Quote, if the jiva is anu, this is not contrary to perception that the jiva pervades. If the jiva is anu, is this not contrary to perception that the jiva pervades the body with consciousness? Right? So that's their question. If he's so small, doesn't that contradict that he pervades the whole body? Then, answer, no, it is not a contradiction. It is like a drop of sandalwood applied in one place on the body, which gives pleasure to the whole body. The comparison is suitable since one cannot directly see how the sandalwood spreads in the body. The jiva's pervading nature in the body is not contrary. It's not contrary to other statements about the localized position of the jiva, such as the following. Hridi Yesha Atma. The Atma is in the heart. Prashna Upanishad 3.6. Sava Esha Atma Hridi. The Atma is in the heart. Chandogya Upanishad 8.3.3. Katama Atmeti Yo Yam Vijnana Maya Praneshu Hridyantar Jyotih Purushaha. Who is the Atma? Yajnavalkya said, that person is full of knowledge, the internal light in the heart within the pranas. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.3.7. Even if the jiva is proved to be very small, there is no contradiction with these statements. Since the jiva is anu and conscious and spreads its consciousness as a giver of consciousness, it spreads throughout the body. In this world, a glowing lamp situated in one place illuminates dark areas near it by its quality of illumination. The effulgence of the lamp is not caused by destructible particles emanating from the lamp. Red cloth or a red gem radiate color to their limits without distributing red particles. Right? So it's not that particles of it's going out and it's disappearing. Right, because there's that also, they'll come up with that kind of theory. Right? Yes.
So mechanically, can we tell that the consciousness is spread throughout the body by blood circulating in the body? Is that how it happens?
That's the mechanics of what's going on. Otherwise, how do you connect with everything?
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah, so it's blood. Through the blood. That's why when you restrict blood in a certain area, you're unconscious of that part of the body.
Yeah.
Right? You know, for the part that is conscious, you can say that there's still some weight there.
Right.
But you're unconscious. But as soon as you stop that restriction, then when the blood comes in, you're immediately conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When we read about Vena, no? And they churned his legs, he was already dead.
Right.
The sages got Pritomaraj from his legs by churning his legs. He did some yagya or something.
Yes.
So therefore, the consciousness was still in the atoms, or because of
when it has nothing to do with that. They're just another soul is coming out. It's just like when the parents conceive a child, then the soul is coming from somewhere else. They're providing a facility for a body, and then the soul is coming from outside. Does that make sense? So in the same way, then they're just, since they wanted someone to continue, right, in the line, so then they have to be from, you know, ideally then they're from that person, and so just by mantras they turn the body from that, then they are able to produce. But that's these great sages. I wouldn't, how you say, like it says, don't try this at home.
They did take mother cells, yeah, from bodies and make babies, apparently, in laboratories.
In?
In
the laboratories.
Laboratories. That's possible?
No. Maybe, but just another soul comes in. But it's only according to what is allowed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say you have a plant. Now, some plants, you can take a cutting from the plant and put it into the ground, and it'll grow. Mm-hmm. But other plants, you do that, it won't. So it's just a matter of which, according to the laws of nature, it's allowed. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that they're doing it, they're functioning in an area that it's allowed. They do it in another area, it won't work.
See, that's my doubt. My doubt is that the jiva is present?
No, it's just it's another jiva.
Okay.
You know, otherwise, when you have a tree and you cut a branch and it's one of those trees you can put into the ground and grow, a different soul takes it. There's unlimited souls, they're all waiting for some place, and so just then you get. You know? And then if it continues, it lives, and the soul stays, and it doesn't, means the soul left. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so it says there's rules. That's why whatever they do, they can only take things to a certain length, and that's it. Like, from what I understand, when they do hybrid things and combine things, when whatever it is that they're doing comes to the point where it turns purple, that's it. You can't do any more transformations.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's the end of the line of that.
Yes.
So there's rules.
Yes.
But man finds these rules, observes the rules, and may work with the rules, but he's not producing the rules. So they'll say, oh, we're producing light. No, you're not. You're just working in a situation that allows that. Right? Because you see, when they do that, what was it, that sheep?
Dolly,
yeah. The cloned sheep has the same lifespan bodily as the one that it was cloned from. It's not like a new and fresh one.
Wouldn't that be an argument that it was the same jiva?
No, it's the same body.
Body.
Means the body, the cells there only last that long. So therefore a jiva that has that karma will take part in that body. One always has to see that you have the Vedic knowledge, then any other knowledge you have to see it in the context of that. It doesn't change. You know, it's just like, okay, is spinach good for you? Okay. But the child doesn't like spinach. So does that change the fact that spinach is good for you? So that's the whole point. Just because people can mental speculate doesn't mean that it changes the facts. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just you always start with the Vedic version and then you see it in context of that. So that's how it works. Yeah?
If the body we are in this material body there are many souls. So when we take prasad, we are nourishing all the spirit soul.
Yeah, it means their bodies. Okay. You know, but that's the whole point, is that you have to share. Yeah, but the point is you're the one that's conscious of the whole body. Yes. They're not.
Yes, yes.
That's the whole thing.
Red cloth or a red cloth.
The original object does not dissipate after some time from loss of particles, and it is impossible for objects like diamond to emanate particles. If the effulgence were small particles, the effulgence of gems could not spread out against the wind blowing in another direction, and would spread out its light only in the direction of the wind. Right? Does that make sense? Because you have effulgence coming out of the gem or the lamp or like that. But if it was particles, then the light would only go in the direction of the wind.
Yes. Yes.
And then upwind it would be dark.
Yes.
But we see it's light upwind also. So it's not particles from that.
Yes.
It's just itself. So it's not that the soul itself is doing that. Soul is in one place.
Yes.
And it's still conscious.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
The effulgence of a lamp would act like particles of pollen carried by the wind. Since Atma is not material, it is not disturbed by the wind as flame is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it spreads its effulgence and it's not disturbed, because the soul is actually is not material.
Yes.
Yata prakashyat yeka. Just as one sun lights up the whole world, this Atma illuminates the whole body. O descendant of Bharata, Bhagavad Gita 13:34, Paramatma Sundarva. Right, so there's all kinds of philosophies that we're not even aware of, you know.
Yes.
So he sees that, you know, Gita's already mentioned them. Sri Govinda Bhashya. Though the jiva is atomic, it spreads throughout the whole body because of its quality, gunat, of consciousness. Because the jiva is endowed with consciousness, just as the sun or another body, alokavat, spreads all over the sky by its light. The Lord himself says this. Yata prakashyat eka kritsnam loka imam radhihi. Chaitram chaitri tata kritsnam prakashyati bharata. Just as one sun lights up the whole world, this Atma illuminates the whole body, O descendant of Bharata. Bhagavad Gita 13:34. You cannot say that the effulgence of the sun is atom spread from the sun. If that were so, then it would mean that the sun would decrease.
Yes.
It is seen that rubies and other gems light up the surrounding area by their effulgence, and one cannot say that atoms stream forth from them, because if that were so, the weight of the gems would decrease. Thus, light is their quality.
Yes.
Right?
So then, in scientific terms, the effulgence of these gems, what would we define them as?
It's their quality. It's their nature. Their nature is to give light. So that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
See, as we mentioned, you measure things by something, but you have to have a proper measurement. You know, like if I bring a ruler, okay, and now I'm going to measure the flavor in the paneer butter masala.
Got it.
Yes.
Sometimes the difficulty is always to see from the Vedic version.
Yes.
We are used to so.
That's the whole point. That's the conditioning.
Yes.
So that's why constant association is important. Because if you associate with materialists, you take on that mentality.
Yes.
You associate with devotees.
Yes.
Then you always see it from that side. So that's why we have to constantly be reminded.
Yes.
That's why yesterday then the point is that, okay, yeah, we have so much of this primary, but what about the secondary? The point is no, there's tons, unlimited amounts of secondary. We're totally unaware of the primary.
Yes.
So for us, it seems like a lot. I mean, something that you're not interested in, then let us just say, okay, just as an example, let's say you don't like money, right? We're being hypothetical.
Right? It's a bad example.
Yeah, no, I just started there because I thought the other examples might not work as well. So someone, let's say he's a hermit, you know, and we're not, you know, or let's say our friend in the barrel, right, Diogenes, like that. So you bring him money, he doesn't care. So let's say you just give him one gold coin. That's so much. Right? But let's say you have a person who has interest in gold coin. Is one coin too much? What about 100? What about 1,000? What about 1,000,000? You could go on unlimitedly. He wouldn't care. That's the whole point is that, so this aspect that, you know, there's so much of the primary, we need to focus on the secondary. Otherwise, that's because we don't have much of an interest. The heart's not very purified. And because of the lack of purity, then we'll see that a little bit of spirituality is already, you know, too much.
Too much, yes.
You know?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Maharaj, And even like it has been seen that devotees who practice primary, you know, the maximum time, they tend to go for recreation also. So then
they tend to?
They tend to go for a change because they are like too much into the primary, so they are overwhelmed.
So yeah, but that's called sadhana. Sadhana means you practice and then you balance. The point is you have to balance. So that's why Krishna says within your work and in your recreation, it has to be balanced. Otherwise, there's too much recreation, then you just do that. If it's too much work, you just do that. You have to have a balance. So it's just a matter of how much works. Mm-hmm. Like, is prasad good or not? Mm-hmm. Is it a good thing? Right? But then you eat, and then that's it. Then you wait, and then you digest, and you eat more. But then having eaten, now if you start this whole diatribe about how, you know, this food and this and that, and it's going, you know, then that's what's the use. So if we say, okay, the guy's, you know, chanted 64 rounds on Janmashtami, and then the next day he's not interested to chant 64 rounds, then we say, see, what's the use of this 64 rounds? No one's interested. This, you know, saying, so what's the motive behind it? The point is you do. And then what is it? You balance. Everything's balanced. It's a matter of balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be aware of that. Okay, footnote 37. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur illustrates that the jiva's nature is consciousness. Even though he is atomic inside, the soul is nevertheless perfect, pure, and eternal. His being atomic is only in relation to his substance. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is alone great in substance. Right? Krishna is unlimited. He's great. Right? Right? So if we're saying Krishna is Mahan, that means he's unlimited and he's great.
Yes.
We're talking about the jiva, he's limited but he's great. Right? You know, so then...
Oh, he's great.
So, yeah, the great guys can hang out together. Right? Yeah. The multitude of jivas are his limitless atomic parts. Right? So... they're unlimited in that there's unlimited jivas, but each jiva is limited. Although the fire itself is not broken up into parts, many tiny sparks come from it. In the same way, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Consciousness, Supreme Conscious Being, is not divided into parts, but still a great multitude of individual spirit souls are manifest from him. As each spark has the power of fire, so each individual soul has all the powers of consciousness. As each spark has all the burning powers of fire and can, in the right circumstances, start a fire that will burn down the entire material universe, so each individual soul has the ability to fall in love with Lord Krishna Chandra. He has the ability to be plunged in an ocean of love for Lord Krishna, as long as he is not in touch with his original nature. The conscious and atomic soul cannot manifest its natural powers. In truth, the nature of the soul is considered in terms of the soul's perception of others. Thinking, what is the soul's eternal nature? One should carefully search for the truth. The soul's eternal nature is love. Therefore, the soul is not unconscious or inanimate. It is different from unconscious matter. The soul's nature is to be conscious. Because right? Unless you're conscious, how is their relationship? How do you have that affection with Krishna? Yes.
Right. So we have internal energy, external energy, and then tatastha.
Yes.
And then sometimes, you know, whatever we call dead matter, he also considered to be Brahman.
Yeah.
So is it the same, like...
It's all coming from Krishna, so it's all... But it's varieties of Brahman.
Right.
Just like within the energies, there's variety.
Yes.
There's the energetic,
yeah.
Right? He's Brahman.
Yes.
His energy, non-different from him, the same different, is also Brahman. And then within that, there's varieties of Brahman. Just like with Krishna, there may be varieties of his different forms he takes for different pastimes, but they're all Brahman. So in the same ways, all the Surup Shakti and all its subdivisions are also Brahman.
Okay, so what we call external energy and what we call Brahman is basically the same. It's an unconscious matter.
No.
Is that right?
Brahman means the transcendental position. Means the substance.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. The material energy in the form that we see here is a temporary thing, so we don't take it as sat, right? Eternal.
Right.
Though the basis that it's coming from pradhan is eternal.
Yes.
But the manifestation we see here is not. Right? So it's not that it's, you can say it's impersonal, but it's not that it's unconscious. Like Krishna is pervading the whole universe as his impersonal Brahman. He's conscious of everything. Just that this part is not. But still, he through the other aspect of him as Brahman, pervades it. So there's a difference between him as Brahman pervading the external energy as Brahman, and the Jiva as Brahman within and pervading the body that he has that's made of material energy. So all these Brahmans can and function simultaneously in the same place. Right? That's the potency of the Tathasta Shakti. Right? In other words, Krishna as Brahman and his internal potency, they go together just fine. Right? The external potency is something, is a different quality of Brahman. So it's the Tathasta Shakti that allows the internal potency and the external to be together in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So that the soul can be in this body and pervade it and all that. That's because of the potency of Tathasta Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the two don't go together. Or we see the Lord's transcendental realm manifest within the material universe. That's also Tathasta Shakti, is putting those two together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's how the demons can come into Vrindavan, and Vrindavan's still Vrindavan. But there's a demon there who's material. So the material and spiritual can be in the same place at the same time by the influence of the Tathasta Shakti. And we're manifestations from that Shakti. We're not the Shakti.
Yes.
We're made from that Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.5.8. The soul within the body is self-luminous and is separate from the visible gross body and invisible subtle body. It remains as the fixed basis of changing bodily existence. Just as the ethereal sky is the unchanging background of material transformation. Therefore, the soul is endless and without material comparison. So as the sky is there and unchanged by whatever is blowing through it and whatever is going on in it, the same way the soul is within the body is unchanging. The body changes, the soul doesn't. Sutta 2.3.25. Vyatire ko gandavat tata hi darshayati. Vyatire ka, difference, ganda, fragrance, vat, light, tata, so, he, indeed, darshayati, shows. Jiva spreads consciousness just as fragrance spreads to a place without fragrance. The Upanishads show this. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar verifies that the quality can function in a plane apart from the substance that possesses it. Sri Govinda Bhasya. Siddhanta. Just as the flower's quality of fragrance manifests in a place without fragrance, the Jiva's quality of consciousness manifests in places outside the heart, such as the head and feet. The Kaushitaki Upanishad shows this. Tatahi darshayati. Pragyaya shariram samarudhya shuka duke apnoti. Quote, the jiva, having taken possession of the body by consciousness, experiences happiness and pain. End quote. Though fragrance spreads far, it is not separate from its source. Just as the light of a gem is not separate from the gem. Smriti says, foolish people on smelling a fragrance in water will say fragrance belongs to water. One should know that fragrance belongs to earth alone and has taken shelter of air or water. Right? So it's from there. Because otherwise, if water has fragrance, then you know it's the end of the, you know, kalpa. You know, he's not the kalpa, end of Brahma's life.
Yes.
Like that. So then, yeah. So it belongs to earth. Footnote 38. Quoted by Shankara in his commentary, attributed to Vyas from Bhanuswami. Bhagavatam verse reference. Brahman, the eternal soul, was never born and will never die, nor does it grow or decay. That spiritual soul is actually the knower of the youth, middle age, and death of the material body. Thus the soul can be understood to be pure consciousness, existing everywhere at all times and never being destroyed, just as the life air within the body, although one becomes manifest as many in contact with the various material senses. The soul appears to assume various material designations in contact with the material body. Right? So you have one life air, right? But it takes on, by in connection with the senses, all the different aspects, all the 10 life aspects of life airs in dealing with the senses. But it's only one life air. So in the same way as the soul, it's just one soul, though it has all these different designations and all that come up from contact with the body. 39. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. Right, you know, it's just like you have one person. That person is, you know, is the son, is the father, is the husband, is the friend, is the brother, you know, is the idiot. You know, it's all those designations all come along, even though it's one person. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments.
Yeah, it's
Generally, there's a V there.
Yes.
That's a problem sometimes with the English language. V and W, they just go together.
Yes. Realization of Brahman or Tat is not everything. First, one must realize the pure Jiva, or what is known as Tvam. That is explained in three verses. Atma here means the pure jiva. This jiva is not born. The first type of transformation is denied. It has never undergone a transformation to come into being. It will not die. So in other words, there was no transformation. It always exists. Right? The sixth transformation is denied, since jiva is without birth. Right, so the six kinds of transformation the body goes through, the soul has nothing to do. The transformation of existing after that time, the second transformation, is also denied because it does not grow. The fourth transformation of change is also denied. It does not decay. The fifth transformation is denied. The jiva does not undergo these six changes because he sees respective times of passing from boyhood to youth or from devata to human birth. Vyabi charinam. Okay. So, do we go by that? So, which he does not undergo, which atma does not undergo these conditions? No?
The first he is certainly, it means certainly, the soul does not undergo the six changes of the body.
That's what we said, So then we could say here, which he does not undergo these conditions?
The second one. No.
He is a form of knowledge alone, upalabdhi, matram. How does he exist? He exists at all times in the body. Quote, does he have no change in knowledge? Otherwise, he would not perceive, for instance, a change in color from blue to yellow. End quote. That one constant knowledge is made various only by the power of the senses. Right? Because knowledge is knowledge. Then there's varieties within it. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't undergo the change.
What is this one constant knowledge that is beginning?
Knowledge is knowledge. And then by the senses, you're perceiving various aspects of that knowledge, but not the knowledge is transforming. So if knowledge isn't transforming, how would the soul be transforming?
Yes.
The perception of blue arising and disappearing is not knowledge. An example is given of remaining unchanged in changing situations. It is like the prana, which is one but moves into various bodies. Sardarta Darshini 11.3.38.
Shall we continue with Shunya?
Now we have the Brahman.